Welcome to the 167th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome, and thank you for listening. Happy Father's Day weekend to all the fathers out there. I hope it is a healthy weekend for you. You know, when I look back, my father passed from complications of diabetes and Alzheimer's. But I learned a tremendous amount of lessons from him and like to dedicate this episode to him. I guess if you think about honesty and accountability, he was your guy. We learned, you know, some of the life lessons I learned was on the golf course with him. And, you know, I always remember, you know, he was one of those guys that said, swing hard in case you hit it. And he swung hard just about every time that he stepped up to the ball. And sometimes it would get him into a good bit of trouble. But he was always one of those guys that was okay with getting a little bit of trouble because it was a challenge for him to get out of trouble. And I think that, you know, has a lot to do with changing and changing your diet and, you know, and adopting a plant-based diet. It doesn't always really go well. Every day is not a good day, but it's a challenge. And if you see it that way, it can be quite fun on how to make things work. You know, so I always, you know, look at that. I think that was one of his biggest attributes, and it was one of the worst things I had going for me. It's probably why I'm a doctor now and not a golfer, because I didn't have that great of ability to look and see how I was going to get out of trouble on those golf courses. But as I aged, I think that I start to enjoy how am I going to get myself out of various fixes and what can we do to troubleshoot. And that's come in very handy for me, you know, with the practice of medicine. You know, he also taught me, you know, hard work, you can accomplish about anything that you want. And there were no ceilings for me. And, you know, so I really appreciate all the, you know, not you can do it encouragement, but, you know, work hard and it'll all work out. And it certainly does. And, you know, I'd like to take that into today's theme for the podcast, because I do think that, you know, changing your diet radically from, you know, the standard American diet with lots of salt, oil, and sugar to a whole food plant-based diet without oil, it's certainly a big challenge. And it's a huge challenge if people weren't, you know, they don't enjoy time in the kitchen or they haven't cooked a lot in their life. But, you know, you keep at it, and certainly everybody can accomplish it. And, you know, you can learn to like it and do it with joy. And certainly the rewards are huge. You know, going from being a golfer growing up and, you know, the nerdy kid studying science and in the band and playing instruments to now doing endurance training, you know, Ironmans and ultras and running, it's a huge change. And it certainly puts me on the outer end of my comfort zone quite a bit. But I enjoy the challenge of each one of them and the endurance aspect as far as the challenge of hanging in there, troubleshooting when things just don't go right. The challenge of getting a little bit better each week. What can you do? I've added more strength training this time around. You know, thanks again to my shout out every week, I guess, to my strength coach for giving me workouts to help me become more fit and to tolerate the different workouts. Also, I've done some cross training on my own called landscaping down here in Florida. If you've ever tried to dig through this sod, it's quite a full body workout. I've been using a tiller and shoveling gravel and you know, working with our fruit trees to try to make things look good. Hopefully, someday we'll be able to show them off as part of the practice and, you know, display the fruit trees and the vegetables that we have. But for now, it's a work in progress. So, you know, there's a lot of different aspects to keeping in shape. In the office, or for the month of June, we're having a squat challenge to try to help motivate our members into becoming mobile and learning, you know, to keep that core strength good. It protects your back when you're lifting and doing these things like moving and gardening and other things. So we're enjoying that. People are posting on our private Facebook page how they're doing. We're actually even doing them in class, in our nutrition class, before we get started. So it's quite fun. And everybody is so eager to become involved and are helpful to each other. It's quite a good group. We made this week in class what I call a tofu egg sandwich. Growing up, we would occasionally have an egg sandwich for breakfast, and I devised a way to make a tofu egg sandwich by just using a little bit of firm tofu, slicing a block up into five slices, and then marinating that with a little tamari and cumin and turmeric and mustard and a little pinch of black salt, which has the sulfur still in it, and gives you that egg flavor. So we tested those out in the nutrition class this week, and we're also doing carrot dogs. You know, the idea was from the Esselstyns early on, but they do the carrot dogs with all the fixings, so we're doing those. We're adding a twist. We're going to put them in homemade corn tortillas, because that'll just be corn flour with added, no added oil, so and a little bit lower calorie than a hot dog bun, per se. So that's kind of what's going on in the nutrition class this week. The classes are a great way for people to try new things and be exposed to different ways of making plant-based entrees. We also do a lecture every week in the classes. There's three different levels, so there's three different lectures, and it's new material every week. So there's no videos. It's just me talking and answering questions. And so we, you know, it gives people a chance to ask questions and hear questions from other people. So there's a lot of feedback. And then we put those sessions up on the website in the members only section, so people that aren't in class can listen to them at their leisure. And I think it's so important for people to hear things so many different ways so that they can learn from other people, you know, I mean, and realize that everybody has successes and failures and struggles. And, you know, oftentimes on the website you hear, you know, about, or not our website, but, you know, on Facebook and various social media, you know, how people are so successful. They lost 500 pounds, they cured whatever diseases, and, you know, you may be struggling, and how does this come about? So I'd like to share with you some failures today. You know, we have a lot of successes in the office, but, you know, it's not a straight curve, you know, from I was sick to I'm well and, you know, three easy sessions. And if anybody tells you out there that, you know, this is easy and you can do it simply and just follow these rules, it's not without stumbling, that's for sure. Most people can quote that, you know, adopting a whole food plant-based diet can reverse heart disease, and I truly believe that heart disease does not need to exist, and adult onset diabetes is reversible through a whole plant-based way of eating. Certainly people lose weight, autoimmune diseases get better, and those are all tremendous reasons for adopting a whole food plant-based diet, but the day-to-day implementation, you know, it's just not that easy by saying, you know, I want to be healthy, and so therefore I'm going to adopt a plant-based diet. And, you know, I'm going to give you for instance, we had a patient I know stumbled. His shoulder was hurting him. He decided to get some comfort food. And, you know, some people don't know what comfort food is. Most people do. You know, if you've watched any TV shows, they, you know, when the people break up or they have a bad day, they get the, you know, the tub of ice cream or the giant pizza, or, you know, some people, I guess, turn to things like macaroni and cheese, or if it's cold, you know, different hot foods that they, but, you know, Wikipedia will identify comfort foods as something usually high in calories, usually something high in carbohydrate, perhaps something that you loved as a child. Yeah, I remember when I was doing my residency, when I finished my 48-hour call duty at the hospital, I treat myself with one of those Yoo-hoo chocolate drinks. I don't even know what it was in it besides maybe a little bit of chocolate, maybe water, mostly sugar. But that would be my treat for making it through the 48 hours being up without sleep. And, you know, and we all have ways of justifying, you know, why we do things, but And sometimes it's pain, and this particular person had shoulder pain, so they decided to turn to comfort food, or at least that's what it was labeled. Turned out it was candy bars and ice creams and salty treats. So it was just basically a junk food binge. So how does a junk food binge help arthritis? Well, not very much. You know, you increase the inflammation even more with the oils, and perhaps even increase the fluid and the swelling of a joint with increased salt consumption. There's certainly no healing benefits of any of those, and so we all know that. And most comfort foods, there aren't any healing benefits at all. The one thing that they all do have is the potential for this big spike in dopamine, as Dr. Doug Lyle will point to in his book called The Pleasure Trap. So you get this spike in dopamine, and it makes you feel good for 5 or 10 minutes, maybe enough time to help you kind of get your mind around and realize that things aren't that bad. But nevertheless, the next time it doesn't quite give you the big surge in dopamine that it did before, so it tends to be more. It's like that one Oreo leads to two, leads to three, leads to a sleeve. It leads to a box of the candy, you know, or it leads to buying something every week. So it usually just snowballs because it needs more. You need more and more of these soft, sugar, oily, salty foods to get the same, you know, dopamine surge. So, you know, it's just like any other drug. But, you know, the question is why we do them. And most people, you know, when they talk to other people, it's perfectly justifiable, you know. I've had a bad day and I've turned to comfort foods. And then people will compare comfort foods. And so it's like one of those dirty little secrets that everybody does and everybody can relate to. And everybody wants to keep those comfort foods in their back pocket for when they may need them. So they're certainly not going to throw somebody else's comfort food under the bus because they don't want their comfort food thrown under the bus. And so nobody's ever chastised for, you know, going off the reservation, so to speak, to, you know, have these comfort foods. But in the reality, you know, we don't look at them for what they are, and they tend to cause a tremendous amount of problem. Have you ever went to a baseball game and watched people eat so-called comfort food, which would be hot dogs and nachos? They're putting them in their face, or the cheese, the popcorn, or the, you know, any of the salty, sugary type of things. They're putting that food in their mouths rapidly, without ever paying attention to the comfort food. So it's just a process. So nobody's really paying attention to it. It's almost like injecting oneself with this drug of dopamine without ever, you know, paying attention to it. The same thing with, you know, the watching TV and eating popcorn. People just say, well, is popcorn bad? It's just, you know, I don't put anything on it. Well, it isn't. It's mindless eating of calories, and people aren't really enjoying it. They're enjoying the process of moving their arm, you know, hand to their mouth or chewing, but it's not doing anything for it. It's just, you know, merely a habit that they associate with, you know, eating, you know, watching TV or going to the ball game. If you go to the movies, you have to have the popcorn and the sugary drink or the candy, because that's what you did as a child, perhaps. But there's really, people are rarely paying attention to it. So if you look at it with that respect, you know, you really, the comfort food, you're not really paying attention to it. So why do it in the first place? I think it really becomes worrisome when people associate the comfort foods with their only pleasure. I think that it's a much bigger problem at that point than just the foods, because when our whole life revolves around only getting pleasure from the food itself, I think we have bigger problems than the sugar, oil, or salt, and we need to address those first. You know, I love to see people, use movement and doing things with others, for others, as a source of enjoyment, and putting less focus on the intake of these comfort foods. You know, getting back to the Father's Day weekend, you know, dads oftentimes neglect their health until it's too late. You know, there are way too many fathers that die at a young age because they've neglected their own health, whether they're traveling Again, businessmen that are very successful in the practice talk about these giant dinners with steaks and butter and, you know, bread and potatoes with loaded with butter and cheese and big lavish desserts and drinks. And it's thought as being successful because there's a lot of money spent on these items, but it's actually killing people. And, you know, I think we have to stop and look and see exactly what, you know, if this is success, that we're going out and eating at these big restaurants and having these high greasy meals and working very, very long hours. It's a recipe for disaster. And the other thing that, you know, people eat in their cars. So, you know, dads that are traveling and grabbing things along the way with no plan as far as what they're going to eat during the day, I think it just leads to danger. I know my own dad would, you know, work through lunch or grab things quickly as he could or grab things for pleasure along the way when he would stop. And, you know, it leads to this weight gain over time, and you can just watch people gain weight as they get older. And it's sad because as they become more successful in their careers, their health declines, and they're lucky if they can maintain their health until it's time for them, you know, to ultimately retire, or they're forced to retire from something that they truly do love because they can't, you know, keep doing it. I was talking to someone today, and they were talking about joint replacements. And, you know, the question was the joint replacement or the joint problems from overuse and injuries, or was it from such poor nutrition? You know, if people get injured and they eat well, you know, if you're eating fruits and vegetables and increasing in greens and you have good blood supply to the joint can heal itself. You know, it's one thing to get, you know, if you get shark bit, you know, your arm, something taken off or something broken to the point where, you know, there's scarring. That's one thing. But most everyday wear and tear of life, your body can heal from if given the proper nutrition. But if you think about it, a lot of ball players, they're living on fast foods. They're eating junk foods day in and day out. Athletes are burning a tremendous amount of calories, so they justify eating whatever they want. Donuts, again, fast foods, become richer. You know, they start to eat more expensive bad foods, high salt, high oil, high sugar. So how can their body heal from repetitive use? And it ends up, people end up requiring joint replacements. But we don't think about that. We just think about, oh, well, they had some trauma, and it's a normal part of aging. The blood vessel to the shoulder is one of the smaller blood vessels. And, you know, so if that blood vessel becomes diseased, then you're certainly not going to get the nutrients to heal that blood vessel or the oxygen to that blood vessel, and the joint will actually deteriorate. Same thing happens with the lumbar spine and the hips. So it's not just walking, and certainly being overweight and people's gait. You know, when you go out this weekend, watch people walk. You know, are they walking duck foot? If you turn your feet out, what does that do to your hips? If you turn your feet in, what does that do to your hips? So day in and day out, if you're sitting in a computer and you're all bent over, what does that do? So, you know, this all goes together as far as keeping mobile, but also eating so that your body can heal itself. Going back to the same thing I was asked in class, the question is, well, how will you ever make a grilled cheese sandwich if you're plant-based? And of course, the obvious answer is you can't make a grilled cheese sandwich if you're plant-based. If you're vegan, you could make a tofu or cashew or nut cheese sandwich. I don't know if it would be grilled appropriately or not, but that's oil and salt in just a vegetable form. So the idea is if you want to get healthy, that really doesn't exist. And there's a couple of reasons, you know, why the answer would be, can you eat a grilled cheese sandwich? And I'm going to say no. Because it's not just, you know, you eat the sandwich and bad things happen and then, you know, your vessels constrict and you get a little immune reaction to it and as some inflammation starts and then it goes away when you've digested that grilled cheese sandwich. No, your immune function is turned on, and it's got to be turned off, and it's like the troops leaving, you know, and, you know, with all the white cells and the macrophages and everything out, they've got to be called back. So that's not a quick turnaround over a couple hours. You know, once you eat something bad, it may take days for the inflammation in your body to start to go down. You know, again, as we talked about before, when you eat those sugar, oil, salty things, such as the grilled cheese sandwich being salt and oil, no matter where it comes from, you get that dopamine response. And as long as you're getting that dopamine response, that pleasure center is triggered, you want more and you want more often. So one sandwich becomes, you know, that becomes, again, part of your routine. That's your lunch that you rely on, and it's harder and harder to give it up. And when you're eating something like that, it's replacing a meal that could have been good and a meal that could have been healing. So when you're eating the grilled cheese, you're not getting any fiber. You might get a couple grams of fiber from the bread. If it happens to be a good bread, most people that eat a grilled cheese sandwich are going to put it on white bread anyway. So you've lost any kind of fiber that you may have had with a good lunch that would have had beans and greens in it. There's essentially no nutrients in it. You're going to get calories, fat calories. There's, you know, for every gram of fat, there's a 9 calorie. So it's a much more calorie dense lunch than another lunch could be. So it leads to weight gain over time. Again, more insulin resistance. The inflammation that it sets off, you know, also leads to, you know, all kinds of enzymes being released. You know, if you think about the enzyme of aging, you know, your telomere shortening, it's not going to do anything for that. It's not going to help you fight anything off. And then the other thing, you know, our justification is that, you know, just because it's what you've always done doesn't really mean it's what should be done. So if you have the opportunity to improve things, then why not? So we have to kind of let go of some of the things, you know, that were comfort foods or some of the things that we've always done in order to make ourselves healthy. You can't kind of have it all. You know, if your goal is to, you know, be able to enjoy your hobbies or your career, but there's a price to pay if you're not healthy. And by choosing these foods, you're really not letting your body to heal, and you're ultimately, you know, you're not staying the same. Your health is going to decline over time. It's a different curve. It's not the curve you want to be on. On new and you know, information out there and some scientific studies, there was a report published this week by at Boston University School of Medicine, where they looked at the flavorings of the e-cigarettes. You know, since people can't smoke inside, they're doing these flavored cigarettes, and unfortunately, these flavors are very much targeted to young people. It's become the cool thing for people to do the vapor cigarettes and with various flavors. And they've looked at these the different flavors, specifically the mint flavored, there's a burnt flavor, a vanilla flavor, a cinnamon flavor, and a clove flavor. And they actually block the cell's ability to produce nitric oxide. So just like when you eat animal protein, you block the production of nitric oxide and the blood vessel constricts. That's what's happening when people are using these e-cigarettes. So if you, you know, can only imagine if you put fast foods together with an e-cigarette, you're causing a lot of vasoconstriction, a lot of blood vessel damage, the potential for blood clot formation, increased inflammation in the body. So these things are really, really scary. They're also made with aldehydes, you know, think formaldehydes. That can't be, you know, that can't be good. They've shown in other studies where they increase the production of interleukin-6, which is an inflammatory chemical. So, you know, they're really, really dangerous. And I don't know why anybody would want to inhale anything. You know, your lungs were made to, you know, inhale oxygen, inhale air, you know, to get that vital oxygen nutrient out of it. And by exhaling, we can get rid of a lot of toxins in our body. But, you know, to add toxins to our body via our lung, because, you know, when you take a breath in, your bronchial tubes come into the direct contact with your blood vessels in your lungs, and that's how things diffuse and get into your bloodstream. So it's one of the easiest way to get things into the bloodstream is by your lungs. So by putting these chemicals, you're really putting them in quicker, even quicker than you're eating. So, you know, if you see anybody, you know, or you have any chance to get people, you know, spread the word of this stuff is just horrible. There's nothing good about it. It's not a substitute for smoking. Again, you know, just like substitute cheese is not a substitute for cheese sandwich, these vapor cigarettes are certainly not a substitute for cigarettes. And, you know, I hope that there's more and more information out that people just, you know, let go of this stuff. It is just not healthy. And on the same note, I'm going to take that, you know, into children as well as for obesity. You know, a lot of times when people become plant-based or families become plant-based, it is a big struggle within the family. And oftentimes it becomes too much of a hassle and parents give in. There was a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine in April of this year. It was a Danish study looking at the change in overweight from childhood to early adulthood and the risk of adult onset diabetes. And they looked at 62,565 people, and they looked at their ages at ages 7 and 13 and their weights, and as well as 17 and 26. And what they noted was that children that were overweight at age 7 had increased risk of adult onset diabetes at a later age, increased 5.4%, as well as if they were overweight at 13. And actually, if you were overweight at the puberty, it was a worse risk factor than at age 7. On the other hand, if children that were overweight at age 7 normalized their weight by the time they reached puberty, their risk of adult onset diabetes was down to that level as if they had never been overweight. If their weight remains elevated through puberty, then that's a really big risk for increase, a really big increase risk for adult onset diabetes at a later age. So, you know, it's really important for us to get this childhood obesity epidemic under control. And I think when you're looking or trying to deal with that within your family, it should be more about healthy eating choices as opposed to actually looking at the weight. And, you know, we don't want to give children, you know, it's a very sensitive issue and very, very difficult to deal with. And it's better just to put the healthy choices there so that the weight normalizes without much discussion, and more about eating healthy and being active. And I think, you know, and again, just forcing kids, you know, a lot of kids aren't necessarily athletic at an early age, and there's some kids that aren't very athletic, but encouraging family activities that involve movement, whether it's walking, hiking, you know, traveling and walking places, and doing things as a family and trying different sports is real important to keep kids active. But, you know, I think we have to make a big move, especially in these in group sports, to not be rewarding children with food all the time. You know, I can remember, you know, even when I was coaching track, that, you know, we'd have parents bring snacks, and there was always this propensity for people to bring sugary, you know, drinks, and one family even brought honey buns and things like that that were very high calorie, and, you know, these kids weren't running that far, and there was nothing healthy to eat, you know, throughout that period. So it's, you know, if you're out there and you have the opportunity to introduce healthy foods to kids, if you put it out there, they'll eat it, especially if there's nothing else. I heard an interview with actually the woman that invented the Lara bars, and she was on the USC volleyball team. And one thing that was really life-changing for her was that the coach of the volleyball team did not allow any of the team members to have sugar or red meat. It was a rule. And, you know, USC was a very prestigious team, and it was a D1 team and hard to get on the team. So the kids would do anything. You know, they didn't want to jeopardize their status on the volleyball team, so they were very compliant, and they had strict rules, and it was enforced. And she noted at an early age that she started to feel better. So, you know, I think it's important for parents and coaches to start to see this, that they have a very, you know, you have a great opportunity to get kids eating healthy at an early age, if only, you know, these, especially Little League and these before puberty sports, these little club sports, rec basketball, that you're actually providing children with healthy food, if, you know, before and after these events, so that it's not, you know, the sugary pretzels and nachos and all this stuff needs to be, you know, needs to get out of these places, these rec centers, the sugary drinks. And, you know, and parents need to get together and voice their opposition to this stuff, because it's not, you know, it's not in the kids' best interest, especially when you think about long-term sequela. So, you know, again, my, you know, I take a really hard stance on this. I don't think kids should get a vote. And I don't think the kids should be the nutrition experts of the household just because of what they see on TV or what their friends eat. And I think there should be some rules enforced in the house. And, you know, kids will eat healthy food given the opportunity. And you may have to try something several different times or make things several different ways. But I think that there should be healthy fruits and vegetables for the kids to eat. And I don't think there should be exceptions for them because of taste buds or preferences. And, you know, and I really think that, you know, reward should not be centered around sugary fat and salt. So, you know, especially in these light, when you're thinking down the road, we want our kids to be better and healthier than we are. And with all the risk factors of this sugar, oil, and salt that are in these foods, not to mention all the other things, you know, kids are at a real disadvantage and a risk not only for adult onset diabetes and obesity, but even cancers. And, you know, we don't want kids getting, you know, colon cancer is starting to, again, show up at earlier and early ages. And it's largely because of what we're eating. So this is not, you know, to penalize kids. It's actually as part of parenting and to make children healthier. So, you know, that's my soapbox for the day as far as kids go. It's not okay for kids to be overweight, and you need to address that situation early on. And as a parent or a grandparent, you need to set a good example. If the parents eat good and the grandparents eat good, eating fruits and vegetables, the kids are going to want to eat that way. You know, we have a lot of families now of that have children that were raised completely plant-based in this movement. You know, the Esselstyn's grandkids, and, you know, I know Tim Marie's children have been raised since birth plant-based for the most part. And, you know, a lot of different places. You know, we interviewed the best deodorant in the world, her children. And there are, you know, it's just, that's just, you know, just a few people that just come to mind very quickly. But we know that, you know, that this actually works. And when the whole family is eating healthy, then it becomes the norm, and that other way is not the norm. The other thing that I think we need to squelch is, you know, eating in the car. You know, when I was growing up, the car was a place that you didn't want to get dirty. You know, so if even when we picked up foods from someplace to bring it home, it was, you know, we brought it home, got it out, got the silverware out and the paper, well, not the paper plates, but the real plates, and in the you know, the food was put on the plates. Nowadays, you see people eating their meals in the car and eating snacks and, you know, this snack mentality. I really think we need to focus on good, healthy meals and limit snacking so we don't get people in this habit of grazing all day long, because we never give people time to rest their guts. And there becomes this abnormal association with, I need to eat all the time, or as soon as my, you know, stomach makes a noise, I need to have food. And, you know, we over time with less activity, that leads to increased weight gain as well. So I think if you start that as an early age, you know, there's nothing better than sitting down as a family, two meals, eating, paying attention to what you eat, and then limiting, you know, the snacking and the eating just to eat, the mindless eating, the eating at the ballpark, the eating at the movie. I think that that needs to stop in order for us to get things under control. One of the last things I'll touch on is, you know, I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast that we had carrot dogs for class. And so I thought I would try, instead of a bun, I would do a corn tortilla. So I made homemade corn tortillas to go with the carrot dogs. And, you know, feedback from the class was a resounding success. So we did corn tortillas with a carrot dog and sauerkraut and mustard and onions as a topping. So, you know, you get beta carotene, fiber, you get the sauerkraut, a fermented vegetable, onions, anti-cancer properties. So we took a unhealthy hot dog type meal and turned it into a very healthy meal. And if you were to add a green salad to that, it would be a great meal. And again, that would be a great meal for kids. The carrot dogs, you can put anything on that, any kind of topping you like. That corn tortilla, especially since it was warm, made a really nice wrapper for the carrot dog, so it's not, you know, a whole lot of bread and processed flours and type of thing. So give that carrot dog a chance. The thing about class is accountability. You know, some people call our nutrition class their AA because they come to class and we have a presentation. I do a presentation every week for them, and we talk about studies that are new in the literature, as well as troubleshooting areas that people have had during the week or other patients I've seen that have had. And, we focus on those things. And, you know, I would invite you to check out our website, drdelaney.com, DocTorDulaney, to look at the programs we offer, because, you know, I do put the lectures online for our members to be able to see. So even if you're not in town, you can see some of those. We offer three weekly nutrition classes here in the office. And, we do two newsletters a month. One is a general newsletter. So if you'd like to be on that mailing list, again, go to the drdelaney.com. We put a newsletter out every month with a recipe, some mobility tips, and some general health and wellness information. And then our members get another newsletter. We also have a private Facebook group. And then, the standard physician-patient relationship. So I actually take time to see people in the office or talk to them in person. There's not an ancillary health practitioner that does it. There's no forms. There's no videos. It is, a real person speaking to you. And Addie Delaney Meinrich, my daughter, is also available to speak to all the members as they need to help them with their nutrition and to troubleshoot and to ask questions. And, you know, I think it is that accountability and the dedication to actually spend time with people that assures our success when it comes to reversing heart disease, hypertension, and diabetes. And, think that, you know, if you look at different programs, you get in what you put out of it. So people that are committed, that join the membership program, that come to the classes, that interact and, you know, do some of the challenges that we have and interact on the different message groups, they are doing excellent, and their weight is going down and their medicines are going away. And we see the people that don't, aren't quite as diligent or just maybe listening and not having put their toe in the water, they don't have the success. So, again, all of these programs that you see around, you know, it comes down to, you being accountable and having somebody that's wants you to succeed. And, you know, we pretty much, if we don't hear from people, we're calling them up and saying, where are you? Aren't you coming to class? Bring your spouse, bring your partner, bring your brother, sister, so that we can have people show up, because we want people to be successful. So if you have any questions about what we do in the office or online, give me a shoot me an email at Jamie, J-A-M-I, at drdelaney.com. Again, check out the website. Love to hear from you. Love to be able to help you achieve your goals. So until next time, check out a carrot dog in a corn tortilla. That's a great recommendation that I would suggest for this weekend. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Be healthy, because you're very, very much needed.